and welcome to the newest episode of Landon Nation. It's Kelly here with Mark.
Hey, Kelly.
This is a very special edition episode because it's part of Baby Palooza 2.
Woo! It's happening! It's happening and right now!
With our very special intro, which I think actually worked out pretty well.
It worked out better before, so, all right. But you know what? It's fine. It's fine.
You're like convincing yourself. It's fine. It's fine.
When I did the test run, it was a little bit better. Like when it went into the chorus, it was when it was first coming into the episode. And I was like, oh, this is perfect.
I did kind of like, though, that right when Carrie stood up, it was like, tax the rich.
Exactly.
Like, it's like she's getting up proclaiming that or something.
That's right. She puts her fist in the air. That'd be awesome.
And the episode that we're talking about is Stone Soup, which sure is, of course, from Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, we're Little House on the Prairie in it. This episode. Why not?
Yeah, so this installment of Baby Palooza, we're visiting Walnut Grove, where we have a pregnant Laura.
Yeah.
Who is watering the orchard in some dangerous conditions.
Now, I think this is season 8, episode 13. As you said, Stone Soup, January 18th, 1982.
Stone Soup.
Stone Soup.
With that ridiculous voice that Karen Grassley uses when she's telling the story. We'll get to it. Yeah, but
the story was kind of weird. It went on for a little too long. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and then her voice, the thing when she's like, best darn Stone Soup I ever had.
You know who could have pulled up that story a little bit better? Charles.
Yeah. I know, right? So this, unlike installment 1 of Baby Palooza 2 on Landon Nation, where we actually didn't have Michael Landon in the episode that we discussed of Bonanza, but we, of course, discussed the many ways in which the episode would have benefited by his presence.
But he's barely in this episode either, so...
Right, but we at least do get him, though. But then once again, the episode could have benefited by his presence, right?
Well, he did direct this, right?
He had to be gone, I guess, because obviously that's the excuse to get Almanzo out, which is why Laura's doing all this work. Plus, if Pa were still in town, he would be doing all the work, and Laura would have gotten into the situation. Yeah.
So I've always liked this episode, but for whatever reason, there's a good reason. When I watched Little House as a kid, it was in syndication, but they weren't playing like the newer episodes, and these were considered the newer episodes. So I think it was like season 1 through 6 were kind of in rotation, but 7, 8, and
This is one of those episodes that I remember really clearly from when I was in, say, like middle school, watching it. So I just always thought it was a good episode, but it's just one of those ones that I just have a distinct memory of watching when I was a kid.
All right. So the story is basically that they're kind of having a hot flash. You know, there's like a drought basically in Walnut Grove, and, all of their soil is turned to sand, essentially.
And yeah, because they're in California. Minnesota.
Yeah, like, if you dig up my lawn, like, about two or three feet down, it's this. You know, it's a friggin' island. And, it's basically the desert. But what kind of orchard is this?
I think that it's apple, isn't it?
I don't think they mention it.
I thought that at the beginning, don't they talk about apple trees?
Well, I say we play it and see.
Yes. I would like to point out, too, that this is the second summer of Laura's pregnancy. Because when she becomes pregnant, which is late in season 7, that was also the same episode when Ma thought that she was pregnant, but it was really menopause.
Wasn't that the name?
And she, like, pretended that she had a miscarriage, is all that crazy stuff, and then they like seal that young couple's thunder by renewing their vows at their wedding. a very bizarre episode.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that was so nice, but you know what we're gonna do?
But anyway, and then we move into season 8, she goes to Arizona for the summer, right? Mm-hmm. So she's already pregnant. She's in Arizona for the summer. We have some more episodes. Now we have summer again. So this is our second summer. I mean, I think this is supposed to be summer, right? Because it's, well, yeah. Sorry, my cat just like freaked out. I don't know if you heard that.
I heard something.
I don't know what the cat just like scrambled across the floor and was, I don't know what's going on. But anyway, so this is like the second summer in season eight. Like, I'm pretty sure this is summer because it's like really hot and everything. So I'm assuming that this is summer, right?
Isn't that Ringo Starr's newest album, Second Summer of Pregnancy?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So this is she has a very, very long pregnancy. We have multiple summers in this season of the show. And I was watching, maybe it was last weekend on Pluto, and they were like kind of around this time period in the show. Mm-hmm. And it almost seems to me, because she has this like super long pregnancy, but it almost seems to me like they kind of forgot about it for a while. Because she has an episode where she announces that she's pregnant. Then, like, we don't hear a peep about it for, like, a long time, it seems. Until suddenly, like, we're in the middle of the season here. And then we get this episode that centers on it. Mm. But it's, like, we really don't hear any reference to it for a long time. It's kind of like weird. So it's almost like they forgot about it.
She's not, like, super pregnant here or anything.
Well, she's 5 months pregnant in this episode.
I guess that would be okay, right? I mean, I guess it's passable the way she looks. Passable.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, like, I don't know, like, what time span is supposed to have, like, throughout this episode, like, how many weeks it is or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, realistically, it would be, like, getting bigger, you know, like, it would keep growing.
Oh, yeah, because
it's months. Like, a few weeks or whatever, like, you'd notice, you know, some growth. But
right, because this is supposed to have taken place over the course of a couple, at least 2 months.
You're right.
Because remember,
but then that also doesn't make sense either, because
trees didn't grow.
Then we also have because in Days of Sunshine, Days of Shadow, mm-hmm. when she has the baby, I mean, isn't that like 2 months past like of her pregnancy, and then she has the baby?
It's like 16-month pregnancy.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like this pregnancy is just way too long, because we have, you know, numerous episodes between this episode and that.
Rose is very special. She's super baby.
Yeah, right.
maybe the heat delays things. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, or maybe it's the water of water.
Yeah, it could be. Or their lack of. This is like one of the few times that we see them pull up well water and it was not perfectly clear. And then later it's perfectly clear. But here they're going to talk about the, their trees.
Getting tired?
Nice tired.
Yeah, it's kind of hot.
Oh, Mammy, I just love it.
You're kind of hot.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
We're going to have the biggest orchard in the whole county.
You better. Every cent we've got's tied up in it.
You're not sorry, are you?
Maybe they're so stupid that they're all different fruits.
I could have sworn they said apple, but I guess maybe I just assumed that, and then I don't know.
I think when you see Laura, you just think apple.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be it.
Get in there.
Yeah, I'm not getting there.
Heck no. I mean, if everything works out like you said.
You know, we kind of have to take that, too. We should clip that.
Yeah, that occurred to me, actually. That could be useful.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning. With the money we make off this orchard, we'll be able to buy 100 acres for the beef cattle you've always wanted.
Yeah, and then maybe there'll be more acres for more wheat. But you know what I really dream about?
what do you think he really dreams of, you know? I mean, hundreds of acres. You know, it's just kind of weird. You can picture him saying something like, I don't know, going to a Japanese spa. That's what I really want.
Yeah, well, we all know that he does not appreciate that cultural experience the chance.
To be me.
Sweetheart still is. Baby and all the other babies we're gonna have, and all their babies, and all the things that we'll be leaving them.
Yeah, that's kind of a sad little comment right there, right?
I know. I was just thinking that because, of course, we know what happens to the second baby, and then there are no more babies.
But even in real life, you know, Rose Wilder didn't have any kids.
Well, she had a stillborn.
I mean, you know, like the family tree didn't keep going.
Well, right, yeah. But, yes, I mean, she did have a pregnancy, but she...
Yeah.
It ended with the stillbirth.
You know, I didn't know that, actually. I almost, yeah, that's a pretty crazy.
And it also was a boy, too.
Aw.
Yeah, so a lot of people think that there was some, like, genetic thing with the family, with boys.
Me? I mean.
Because I guess, like, there are some things that, and I totally am not, like, a biologist or anything, so I probably will have it mixed up or whatever. But, sure you know, are. There's, like, is it the XX and then XY? Like, XY is the girl, but the boy is, like, XX. So I think it's something about boys are, like, more likely to have, like, genetic disorders manifested because they have, like, the X twice instead of the XY, like, the girl. Mm. I don't know. Something weird like that. I, like, read it in something, and I was like, I guess that sounds like it makes sense, but I don't know.
Right.
I'm not an expert. I mean, it's like I really know nothing about how, like, this stuff works. But anyway, but that is kind of, like, what a lot of people seem to think, that there was some sort of, like, a genetic thing with the family because
there's almost no,
like, none of them were able to have boys that survived, you know?
Yeah, that is, so. I mean, that is pretty crazy because it's usually, I mean, so males tend to be, like, stronger, but I don't know about being a baby. I mean, is an infant, you know?
Well, I think that I have also heard that as infants, like as newborns, males actually tend to be a little bit weaker than females.
See? Yeah, there you go.
And there's like all the, I don't know. Of course, everything is, you know, all babies and all pregnancies are different and stuff. But it is kind of weird, though, that I don't know why that is, but I've just heard that that's the case.
His freeze frame is hilarious of Charles. So just look at this. When he pulls up, he gets off, he says nothing. The whole shot is kind of strange. Like, just he says absolutely nothing, and just his expression and everything seems strange. Like, they could put this in so many other
shots. That is really weird. He just walks up and stops.
He's right. He's like, well, I'm here. Like, you can cut to almost anything at this point. Like, pulling up to any farm.
How you two doing?
Well, you sure look happy.
Good news generally has that effect on me.
Getting a divorce. I'm just kidding. Leave my wife for 2 months.
But
been offered $300 to haul some mining equipment.
Three.
The good news. Remember how your mom went through menopause? The hormones are finally leveling off.
This heat really attacked her.
That's right. Where's it being hauled to? California?
Well, you're close. Northern Arizona. It's going to come in by rail to Sleepy Eye on Wednesday. We're supposed to pick it up right away.
Wednesday? Well, that's just a couple of days from now. I don't know. I mean, I'd be gone a couple of months.
We're talking about $150 a piece.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of money.
I think...
What I think is kind of interesting here is, like, you know, at some point they had to have been discussing, like, numbers in real life, like, for their roles. He's like, we're talking $150. And it's like, that was probably really what they got. Like, that was, like, really their raise. Like, $150.
You should do it.
Well, we haven't even finished planting the orchard yet.
Hey, look, Albert and I can give you a hand with that. It shouldn't take more than a couple of days.
Well, that'd make a difference.
You wouldn't mind mine being gone for a couple of months?
Of course I'd mind. But you said yourself we need the money. I'll be all right. The baby isn't due for 4 more months.
Oh.
4 more months, huh?
Yeah, so she's like 5 months pregnant. Oh, which, by the way, I was going to say, because I think you have in your notes that the $300 would be $3,692.75. But I did the inflation calculator that I've been using in our other recordings.
Yeah.
And just for the $150, which they each would get, it says $150. I'm using 1881. I don't know if that...
Keeping in mind that
What year was Rose was born in 1881, right?
Keeping in mind these notes were made before, like, inflation got kind of wacky right now. So.
Oh, right. So, right. So I get that these are, the number is old and everything.
Which is kind of
crazy. But anyway, I'm using your 1881. Okay. So $150 in 1881 today would be $4,593.12.
What? How did I?
So they're each getting over $4,500.
I had to have been way off because no.
Basically.
Like, yeah. Like my number is way too. Oh, wait. What number did you suggest?
What does that upset you?
Wait. It was 4,000 something? What number did you get? I'm sorry. Hello? Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, $150 in 1881 is worth $4,500. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here. Uh-oh, we having an issue. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, well, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
My letter is T.
Yeah, apparently.
All right. I'm going to pause everything.
Okay, so now... that's weird. Something weird must have just happened with my internet. Because the thing just like stopped working. The inflation calculator broke it, but it seems to be back now.
All right,
I don't know what happened because the thing said it was like, it has like full bars the whole time.
I was going to pause it, but I didn't pause it. So we're still recording. Maybe I should pause it.
Oh, okay. We are still recording.
Yeah, we're still recording. I'm going to pause
it. I mean, is it good now?
Sorry, we're back.
Okay. I think my internet is dumb. It says it has full bars, but it seems like it's, I can, like, hear you partially. Like, it kind of cuts in and out.
That's good.
My letter is T.
Are we back?
We are back. Checking. 1, 2, 3. Checking.
Wait, are we... Okay, it's actually... Okay.
And we're back after crazy technical difficulties.
I don't know what that was. Yeah, and the $300 in 1881 is worth $9,186.24 today.
Yeah, so it's worth like another $2,000 versus when I first did the calculation from probably like 4 years ago.
But then if you think about, okay, so let's go back to them each getting $4,593. And that's for 2 months. So, I mean, they're getting, what, like $300 a month.
It doesn't seem in line, actually, with the kind of money that they made elsewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems a little bit less than what... but maybe this is, like, dead season? Like, you know, like, there's no work, right? You know, it's the dead of summer, maybe, and there's no work. So they're going to do this. I don't know.
I don't know. It seems like Almanzo has some work with this orchard.
Yeah. He's got it going. So he's,
if your ma's that understanding, I haven't told her yet. What do you say, Almanza?
I kind of like his answer. Can I think about it? And if you look at him, he has dirt in his neck.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw it?
Well,
yeah.
I don't know why I noticed it.
About it. I've already accepted the deal.
You know, clean pot. Oh, yeah, like in his like crib in the crevice right there.
It's crazy.
You did. That was either that or lose it.
The thing froze, by the way, the picture.
It froze everything.
Yeah, I mean, I can hear everything, but the thing went away. Can we discuss how we feel about Pa accepting the job without telling Caroline?
Yeah, that's, I mean, this is why I think maybe they should have had a thing where it's kind of like, there's no work, you know, we're in the middle of a drought, we need money, and I had to take the job because we need this money.
Yeah, because he says that if he didn't accept it right away, he would have lost the job, but they haven't really established the extreme need for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that just kind of seems like a little bit questionable. This 2 month, you're going to be gone for 2 months on what, I mean, any sort of travel is, you know, kind of pretty dangerous back then. I don't know. It just seems kind of.
But also leaving.
A little questionable of Pa.
But also leaving a real full house. I mean, who's living in the little house right now? We have James, Cassandra, Albert,
Harry, Grace.
Grace. It's five kids to take care of.
Mm-hmm. Plus working at the restaurant, right?
And Laura, because, you know, she doesn't take care of herself. And mm-hmm. working at the restaurant, right? Meanwhile,
and then even that Caroline works at the restaurant seems like that would make it like there's less of a need for Pa to like take jobs like this, right?
I would think so. I mean,
but that's why it just doesn't really make sense. Like, why it's like, oh, like couldn't risk losing it, had to take it.
Meanwhile, he's out gallivanting with the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Hey guys, help me out of this rain. So Amanda's like, yeah, I'll go. Sure.
Yeah.
No problem. They're doing their goodbyes. It's sweet. I think a lot of this is kind of sweet. They still are kind of like newlywedish, which I think is nice. I think we get a little bit of that Almanzo and Laura connection that mm-hmm. is really sweet that people really like. It's not exactly a Joe Lando, Jane Seymour type of romance.
Well, no one can be perfect what is? Like that.
Yeah. But what is? It's not exactly a Victor French, Michael Landon type of. You know,
romance. The highway partnership,
not a real bromance like that, but
yeah,
what is all right? So, we have Harriet coming in for a little comic relief, to emphasize how warm it is.
Good morning, Harriet.
Oh, my heavens, it is getting so hot.
Oh,
hot enough to bake the brains out of a lizard.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I don't want to hear it again. Hot enough to bake the brains out of a lizard.
Oh, heavens, you are something.
Oh, Harriet, huh? would you give this to Laura? She's been in every day this week hoping for word from Almanzo.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Harriet.
Yes.
So I thought it was really funny. We have a little scene where she is reading it.
Good morning. I'm Laura.
And we have the Hartwick, you know, Irv Hartwick. There.
Yeah, I know. That stays up there until Carter comes in season 9.
I mean, I think...
Which, actually, who is the blacksmith in the meantime?
I don't know. I mean, there's no blacksmith, I guess. There's nobody over there. I mean, you'd think they could have just put I don't know, spray painted over it or something, but it's something. It's kind of weird.
It is really weird.
It is. And they really kind of frame it, don't they?
Like, yeah.
So Laura sees Harriet reading through the mail.
Morning, Mrs. Olson.
Good morning. Laura, here, I have a card for you.
What do you think of Laura's maternity clothes? I think they're kind of cutish. I mean, I don't have too many opinions about maternity clothes, but as somebody who is likely wearing maternity clothes, what's quite your opinion on
it? I mean, I think it's fine. It's just like, I think kind of... We see, I mean, sort of like classic this time period, kind of how it was. So just bonnet. Like the loose, kind of like the loose on the bottom. And I think that the skirt they probably just pulled up like over the bump, you know, and then have the shirt like loose over it.
That bonnet.
So, I mean, I think it's fine. Girl. I think it's passable. The bonnet is like really puffy. I don't know what's going on with that.
This bow that she's, you know, this whole thing, it's like basically like a man's tie. Like that.
It's very weird.
It looks warm, actually. I mean, the top doesn't look warm. It looks kind of like airy, but
yeah,
that this bonnet is out of control.
Wonderful.
You know, I was looking. This is kind of
fun. That little side eye is really funny.
Yeah, I'll pull a screenshot. Like to know what this is a picture of. You know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking of how cool it would be if that was like a Malone type of, is it Malone? Am I saying the town correctly? Where Almanzo was from?
Oh, yeah, I think Malone, New York, yeah.
And, or something like that, like some type of reference
little
to...
kind of Easter egg in there.
Yeah, it'd be kind of an interesting thing, but I don't know. I don't really recognize it. be like an In-N-Out burger or something like that.
A Whataburger.
A Whataburger. A coupon.
Just remarkable, the speed of the mail these days.
In this shot, also, I just want to point from a cinematography point of view, they're way too lit. Like, the reflectors are just, it's like beaming on them just too much. And maybe they're trying to emphasize, like, how bright the sun is, but it's too much, I think.
Like, Harriet's shirt looks crazy white.
Yeah, and it's just too much. Like, it just wouldn't be like this.
All the way from Colorado to Walnut Grove in just 10 days. They're making very good time.
Like, you see how, like, her chin, it's, like, so, like, lit up. It's almost like it looks like there's powder on it.
Too. Of course, they don't have to put up with this heat, I guess.
Mrs. Olson.
How does she know?
Yeah. she's a womanly woman.
You are more than welcome to read my mail. But I'd like a chance to read it first.
Look at that thing in the back. Gross.
What, all the weeds?
The bonnet in the back.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant all the ones behind her. Yeah, what is that?
It's just such a dumb bonnet.
Double tied. Tied in the front, tied in under the chin. Yeah, it's like a really bad baseball hat or something.
Yeah.
It's like made out of khaki material. Like, it just looks heavy. I don't get it.
Kind of in Mrs. Olson's defense, it's not okay to read people's mail, but postcards are kind of just out there.
I agree. Like, if you want to write something, you know, really kind of private, don't put it on a postcard.
Right.
That rash is really clearing up. That's not something you put on a postcard.
The doctor said I just need to continue with the cream twice a day.
See, I learned that the hard way. There. So, yeah, so she's like, I wonder where this is. So she goes up to, she refers to Doc as Doc, which I have to go back and really listen. I don't really remember her referring to him so often as Doc.
Like, I mean, I think it's Doc Baker usually is what she says, right?
The way she's, there's a few things that just kind of stood out to me. Maybe they're normal, but they're just standing up to, like, the way she's holding the books and everything. There were things that just kind of bothered me for some reason. And it could be that, you know, it's hot and I'm just going to carry it this way.
Well, maybe, like, she doesn't want to carry them, like, in front of her, you know, so it's on her stomach.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah.
That's uncomfortable.
All right.
Good morning,
Doc. You'll know what it's like, Mark.
Thank God. I couldn't handle it. I just wouldn't be able to handle it.
How's the health of Walnut Grove?
Well, outside of a sunstroke and a couple of cases of heat exhaustion, most people are sensible. Keeping cool as best they can.
Maybe don't wear black.
How are you doing?
Fine. Doc, could you tell me, how long can young trees live once their roots dry out?
He's like, is that a metaphor?
Well, that's he's like, oh, what kind of tree are we talking about here?
Right. Are we talking about, you know, twigs, maybe?
When the twig is bent, it can never grow straight.
Yeah, well, that's something you got to learn.
Out of my line. But as soon as the leaves start wilting, they go pretty fast.
Ask the guy who completely failed at farming in 48 hours.
Yeah, right? he actually is looking less wrinkled up here than he often does. It might just be the excessive lighting.
Yeah, I think they really lit them. So let's see. Let's get on with this a little bit. Nels has like an ongoing job of chopping up the ice, which I think is fun. My question, it's funny because I said, how was ice made in 1881? But I did learn since then, but I'm glad that you did put a link in there.
Yes.
It still kind of amazes me that back in these days, yeah, it would be a frozen lake and they would just cut it out of it, right?
Yeah, and then they would have to transport it back as quickly as possible to store it. But then there was some statistic in there, and I don't remember offhand, but it was like most of the ice ended up melting. Yeah. So they would, I don't know 10%. If harvesting is the right word or whatever, like they would harvest all this ice, but most of it ends up melting. So it's actually pretty crazy.
Yeah, your link said 10% of the ice would remain. 10%. I mean, yeah,
90% of it melted.
That's crazy. And I like this little leather thing he's got on his shoulder. It's pretty.
Yeah, like the little carry.
Like, it's authentic head. Looking. Oh, it's one of the few things that I'm like, what's his dress doing back there? It's kind of strange.
That actually looks kind of like the one that Jonathan Garvey was thinking about buying Alice for their anniversary. But then Harriet said that he should buy ham.
You should buy ham. Well, you know what? Having ham does prove to be very useful, as Charles and Almanza learn later. Well, bacon.
I like ham. I like ham.
Oh, I like a piece of ham. Ham? Somebody say ham? You know, I made a pork roast for the first time in a while, like the other day. And yeah, I forgot how good, how easy it is to make and how good it is.
Yeah.
So there.
I'm not huge on pork. Yeah. I do like it sometimes, though. And
it has to
sometimes
be
you get those things that were, if they're seasoned, you know, well and stuff. But it's not I don't love pork, although once in a while, you know, I think it's good.
I grew up with no pork in my life, right? So as when I got older, I was like, what's this? And so obviously I like bacon like most people do. But I've made it's called a picnic cut or something. I don't really know. But that I've roasted and made pulled pork, and that's really good. But
the thing pork is good.
Yeah, right? But the thing I made the other night is a pork loin. And as long as it's made properly, I really like it. But sometimes the only way I could describe it is some things can taste porky. And it has kind of a taste and a smell I just don't like.
Yeah, see, I think that's my thing with it too, where there's kind of the smell that just is weird to me that I don't really care for. But if it's seasoned well and.
Yeah.
And sometimes if it's not really cooked properly, kind of has that smell, and then the texture, you know, if it's almost it's to be a touch dry, and then it has this weird smell, and then it's just ugh.
Yeah, I just want to throw it out the window or give it to the rules. Hey, you gnaw on this. It's gross.
But then also I'd like it thinner cuts of it too, I think tend to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Welcome to Porkcast.
The Primus podcast. The pork soda podcast. So I like this little thing, but he was doing it really in a scary way, you know, chopping at the ice. And
hurry up!
He starts chopping it totally wrong. Look at this. He starts chopping it with his left hand on top of the ice. That could easily slip and go right into his
And this seems a really kind of wasteful use of the ice.
Yeah.
Considering how they have a limited store of it. Right.
Yeah. Well, she's rich and she, I don't really know how to describe, but it's a little bit, vocal when she gets her relief from the ice. I'll play just a moment of it.
Oh yes. Ooh.
Let's just say she really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We get that shot of the postcard again. I got to figure out what this is. That's a Reddit type thing to post, right?
Yeah.
What is this? Or 4chan. What is this? So let's see. I think that Karen Grassley looks good here, but later on she looks kind of more tired, but I think it's intentional. The heat's getting to everyone. But I think the bright lights are flattering to most everyone.
Yeah.
What should I play next? I mean, there's just a little chatter.
They're kind of hanging out, having lemonade because Caroline must be on break or something. Yeah. And I think, is this the scene where she's just telling Laura, take it easy. You're pregnant. Don't do too much.
Yeah.
And then Laura's like, okay.
Okay, I'll go home and carry. I mean, each bucket probably carries, 2 gallons? Maybe a gallon and a half or something?
If I had to guess, I would think, I would have said 5, maybe.
5 gallons?
Well, okay, so you know those buckets, those plastic buckets you can get at Lowe's or whatever?
For water?
Those are 5 gallon buckets.
Yes.
And I mean, this seems because this is wider than those. So it's shorter, but it's wider.
I don't think these are 5 gallon. I would say that these are like 2 gallon top.
Let's take it to Reddit. Well,
no, this is here's the reason why I want
to. This bucket.
Here's the reason why I bring it up, though, is I bet the bucket alone probably weighs like 6 pounds, and a gallon of water is like 8 pounds.
Yeah.
So if she's even filling this up to half, I mean, it's like 13 pounds. So every time she walks back and forth in this excruciating heat, it's 26 pounds without that thing that she puts on her shoulders.
Yeah.
Which that's a lot. I mean, you know, it's like when you have a backpack, you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. And then like 20 minutes later, you're like, you're handing it to Pete. No, I'm kidding.
It would be funny if, as the weeks go on, she just gets progressively more ripped. Like ripped. She's just like muscular.
That would be awesome. Like Hulk Hogan. What's up, brother?
She tells Willie to go to the corner, and he's like, okay, just don't beat me up.
Miss Wilder, are you like taking like steroids? What is that supposed to mean? Raging. Yeah, like, look at, I mean, this is like a workout, right? This,
yeah,
this is part of the Charles Ingalls like upper body strength type of thing.
Yeah, well, and I was wondering too, speaking of all of her physical activity, so I don't know how far the Wilder house is from town, because I feel like the Ingalls house, the little house, is, yeah, I want to say about 3 miles. There are a couple of episodes where they say things that makes me think it's like 3 miles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then I'm thinking like every time from that house they're walking into town, like going to school, like going to the restaurant, whatever, when they're walking, it's like 3 miles, you know? Yeah.
I would agree.
Which I'm like, you know, actually, like when you're in shape, like you're doing it all the time, that actually isn't really that much, you know. But I'm not sure how far their house is from town. But it's like really hot, and she's walking in to go teach every day, and then she's doing all this afterwards, yeah, which is a ton of physical activity anyway. And then with the pregnancy and stuff too, I'm like, this seems pretty miserable.
Well, she's a country girl. She can handle it.
Yeah.
So yeah, she brings up these barrels of water, and she, it's a lot of visual, but she's like watering the plants, which is kind of satisfying because of how dry the land really is. But that's like sand, you know, like, that's really, really,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Did they just plant these poor trees just so that they would wilt? I feel almost bad. We get a shot of Nels going back and forth from the ice house, you know, to get more ice. And we
he's going to get ripped, too, just on the one arm that he carries the ice on. It's really big.
Well, yeah, he's like the arm wrestling king now. Remember, well, who did he arm wrestle? Didn't he arm wrestle Charles? Or was it Almanzo?
Almanzo, yeah, at the whatever that gathering was that had Wilder versus Wilder, or Wilder, yeah, and Wilder versus the racing. That episode, yeah, though, with Pearly Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that some town thing, but I don't really know what it was. Like, was, yeah, it a Founders Day, or maybe something like that? But
Here we are in class. But yeah, it would be funny if Nels is like, you know, I'm going to take Almanzo down. And Charles.
Think about, do men become heroes because of history, or do they create the events that make them heroes? Nancy?
I don't think anyone's sweating enough, personally. I'd be visibly sweaty.
It's events. Without the tea tax, there wouldn't have been a Boston Tea Party, and that started the war. Very good, Nancy. Willie?
It's funny because she calls on Willie and she's almost nervous about it. You know, he's visibly sweaty.
It's men who make history. Without the midnight ride of Paul Revere to warn the colonists that the British were coming, they would have captured John Hancock, Sam Adams, and the gunpowder. And that's why it's the heroes that make history happen.
There's one more person. Oh, yeah, sure. Abel, stand up.
My letter is T.
Very good.
I was gonna say something, I lost my train of thought. Okay, I'll come back to me.
Was it
my letter is T?
Yes, it was.
It sure is.
All right. So everybody's really impressed. He's really sweaty, actually.
Yeah, he does look really sweaty. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Okay, so, because I think this is summer, right, as we previously discussed.
Yeah.
So they're in school in the summer, which, I mean, maybe was, like, a normal thing because of, like, the harvesting season and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I think because I think a lot of people had to be out, like, in, you know, the fall and stuff for that. So maybe it was normal to do, like, you know, some summer stuff, although I don't really know. I'm not an expert on it. But in the realm of the show, it's inconsistent because we have summer breaks on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even like the point. First summer yeah. of season 8, when Laura goes to Arizona, and that was like, it was the last day of school, you know, like at the beginning when Almanzo, it's like the last day of school. She's all like, I'm so ready for a break.
Mm-hmm.
Summer, no school. This appears to be summer, but they have school.
Yeah, you make a good point. I didn't even think about that, but, you know, like, it would just be way too hot. Like, very strange. Like, how often do we have summers in Little House on the Prairie where they're in school? I can't really think of any other time.
Well, and, like, say, like, the Lake Kezia monster episode is another one where they make a big deal about, like, it's summer.
Yeah.
And, like, we don't have school and stuff. So I think that they have established this pattern of, like, summer vacation. Hmm. I don't know. So it's weird that they're now, I don't know why they're, unless this is, like, not actually, like, summer, but it's just unusually hot. But then it's, like, they're gone for 2 months. So, like, how else would it be so hot for 2 months if it's not summer? Oh, I don't know.
Heat snap. Heat wave. Indian summer. When I was a kid, that was, like, what people called it. Like, when it was, like...
Yeah, like, when it's, like, autumn, summer. But it's unseasonably hot.
Yeah. We blame it on the Indians.
Which, why was it called that? Like, where did that come from?
It came from my weird mother. I really don't know.
No, but it was, like, I have heard that a lot, too. But I never really understood why people called it that.
Maybe the Indians extended, like, you know, would count... the season's longer. I don't know.
The Cheyennes say that it's not autumn until you say it's autumn.
The origin of Indian summer, late 18th century, with reference to North American Indians, rather than the country of India. Yeah, thank you very much for clearing that up. It just doesn't at all. An Indian summer is a period of unseasonably warm, dry weather. It's exactly what you said. I think you're AI, Kelly.
I'm a robot.
Yeah, exactly. It sometimes occurs in autumn in temperature regions of the northern hemisphere. Correct.
But it still doesn't say why they call it Indian summer.
No, it just... sorry, I'm just kind of flipping through it really fast. I mean, they do have references going back to 1778 being mentioned.
So on the Wikipedia page for Indian summer, it says, although the exact origins of the term are uncertain, it was perhaps so called because it was first noted in regions inhabited by Native Americans, or because the natives first described it to Europeans, or it had been based on the warm and hazy conditions in autumn when Native Americans hunted.
So it wasn't something my crazy mother made up.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have, we're going to see the shot of the sun over and over again. That's kind of funny.
It's kind of trippy.
Yeah. Like, I kind of don't remember what this scene is. So the farmers are coming to Nell's because... The rain isn't raining. There's no rain. Everybody's crop is dying. The corn's drying up. And Harriet's all like just pissed off that Nels is extending credit.
Yeah. Well, their philosophies on business are very different in situations like this because Nels is kind of like everybody in the community is struggling. So it's like he expects to struggle a bit too. You know, like just sort of like these are hard times for everybody kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a farmer's community and it's kind of like it extends. That's
yeah, where Harriet is more like it's their problem.
Right.
And we're still going to make our money or like, you know, we're or at least we're not going to lose more money by giving credit to people who can't pay us back.
Now, in all fairness, now you and I, we see eye to eye with Preston from Dr. Quinncast. Mm-hmm. Well, not from Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, but people should look up Dr. Quinncast because it's probably the best podcast in the world. But
of all time.
Of all time. And Preston is the banker. And I would think that Preston, you and I agree that Preston's biggest flaw, and it's not even a flaw, is that he does his job, right? And that's what people criticize him for, is actually being a banker.
Yeah, I mean, both people on the show, like the characters on the show, seem to have a big problem with him just doing his job. And then also just the fans, you know, like just seem to really hate Preston.
Yeah, like why isn't he just letting him slide? It's like, well.
Yeah, it's like just because he wanted to collect a loan payment before it's already late or something. And how he asked him to pay. And then it's like, he's such a snake.
Right. But in a lot of ways, you know, Harry, I have to agree with Harriet here for the most part, because, you know, if you extend credit to somebody, you have to expect, you can't run a business if you're not going to continuously get money back. But, you know, she does have a tone about
it. I mean, I do kind of sympathize with Nels, though, because there's like a really hard thing to do to just like turn people away. Right. You know, like people who are struggling and then.
But. You know,
so I mean, so like, it's like, I agree with you that it's like from a business standpoint, and I mean, like any bank or anything, it's not just gonna like handle the money, like it's candy.
His face here.
So I mean, like from a business standpoint, I think that Harriet actually is probably a stronger business person.
Oh, there's no doubt. She would.
But I mean, like, I do kind of, I get like why Nels is so sympathetic too, because it is like a hard spot to be in, to be like the one who is like, no, I can't help you. Mm-hmm. Although we do have like a 100-mile walk when Lars Hansen was like, people were asking Lars like to loan them money and stuff. He couldn't do it. He was like, no, I can't. I don't have any money coming in.
Yeah, it's just business.
Oh, don't give them credit.
Harriet, they're our neighbors, our friends.
Oh, you're such a soft. All right, you've got to charge them interest then, and I mean it.
But she does kind of give in a little bit.
Yeah, like she's a softie when it comes down to it. Now, why is Willie in the corner? I kind of forget.
Oh, because he was reading, right?
Oh, right, because of the comic.
Yeah. You know,
he gets caught reading about the West. But they have a nice little chat here, and she kind of blows up at him a little bit. I'll just play the clip.
She's looking really sweaty.
Yeah.
There's later.
Well, more like they just like dumped a bucket of water on her shirt.
Exactly. But, you know what that room must smell like? Ugh.
I mean, her hair actually looks too good for how sweaty she's supposed to be.
And I like that she's not wearing like a ton of makeup in this. I mean, if she's wearing a lot of makeup, it's not showing.
Well, I had pointed out in the notes that, especially later on when Mrs. Foster is like, oh, you don't look well at all.
Yeah.
And I was basically like, the way that they make her look sick is just to like not really put makeup on her.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's really, really.
If you don't teach them well, they're going to have a hard time in life. You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
That's why I sent you to the corner for reading this again. Instead of doing your math, you're not helping me do my job.
But it's exciting, and it's part of history.
I know it's exciting, and it's all right to read once your schoolwork's done, but you should also be reading books of substance. These stories are fiction, dreamed up by writers.
But Apaches are murdering and scalping people all the time, and that's not fiction.
Will you stop saying that? I have enough problems without you constantly reminding me that my husband and father could be massacred at any moment.
Sounds like a you problem.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's the weather.
Is there anything I can do?
No.
How about you shut up?
Are you strong? You like carrying water?
Yeah.
I don't know why she doesn't ask for a little bit of help. Especially for
Albert. So that was one of the things I wanted to bring up, actually, that her continual refusal for help. I don't know how we're supposed to see that as viewers, if it's supposed to be like she's trying to be a hero or something like that.
I certainly do not admire it.
Really, I'm like, no, you should just let people help you, because
there was
you're pregnant, and it's like you're putting yourself and your baby at risk. It's like, you might think like, oh, I'm strong enough to do this, but it's like, well, you haven't tried doing it when you're pregnant before. It's like a totally different ball game.
Right. Like, this is like one of those kind of situations where you just, you have to accept help and that's it.
Well, and then really just for like the best, like, even if it really bugs you and it's like against your character, like for the best interest of the baby, mm-hmm. just take a step back and accept the help. So, I mean, it actually kind of does bother me that she just continually refuses it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this is not good. Like, this is not like, this is not how you should be behaving while you're pregnant.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's very uncomfortable, I think, because she's offered help. I would imagine in real life, like somebody like Albert would just go and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But so Harriet comes in and sees that Willie's reading a comic book.
What? Then Morning Cloud, a dusky Sioux maiden, in the full bloom of womanhood, began her dance of fertility. Uh-huh. Even in buckskin, I could see the graceful shape of her loins. Willie! I am shocked at you. Why, this is trash. This kind of trash will corrupt your mind.
Yes, lady.
But, Ma, it's only the history of the West.
Oh, that's history?
What's the commotion?
Ah! I love it. Ah!
Your son! No wonder your son is doing so poorly in school reading this kind of trash. Nails, that boy's a dreamer. It's time that you toss him the realities of life.
That'll happen soon enough. Let him dream for a while.
You should read this.
Don't mind if I do.
Nels is like,
we should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
I've always actually kind of really liked that response of his.
Yeah, I don't mind if I do. So, all right, we're going to get into this. It's funny how she's just kind of freaking out about it, though. She goes and sees that Nancy is reading Little Women.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy, of course, being the perfect daughter.
Little psychopath with really poofy bonnet.
The poofiest bonnet, right? But she's reading Vanity Fair, which, you know, that's, I think it's a nice little nod to that it existed back then. I think I think that's accurate.
And then she's reading a story that I think would be perceived as more racy than what Willie was reading, so that's kind of funny.
See if this picks up on some of that.
You, sir, are a cad.
Her eyes, like,
and then we just kind of get her face. It's pretty funny.
So look at those ferns. It's like you got you're watering those ferns. So this shot, when we transition to Laura, is so funny. It's like, this is like kind of like Marty McFly when he's like, I'm late to school.
Yeah. Which I think I brought this up, Baby Palooza 1, when we were talking about Dr. Quinn, that so on TV shows, a lot of times they're showing pregnant women like laying on their back, which is something that's not advised.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually, like, because it can, like, it's like a circulation thing. And it actually happened to me once where I just like laid on my back to stretch out just for like a couple minutes. Cause I like, don't, I'm like not sleeping or whatever. I'm awake and I just feel like stretching out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, cause there's like this big like artery thing, you know, that like whatever circulation gets cut off. And it makes you really like lightheaded and stuff. And I got like so dizzy, I almost fell out of the bed.
Just from laying on your back?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Which was like, I didn't have anything like that happen like the first time that I was pregnant. But then I was kind of like, then that happened and I was like, whoa, I guess that's like why they tell you to not lay on your back. Wow. And it was like, it like happened like really suddenly. Like I just kind of am like, you know, stretching out, laying there. And then suddenly I'm like, what's happening? Why am I like about to fall out of the bed?
Right. Like you get like vertigo or something.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty wild. Laura's like, I'm late to school. I'm going to run and do this.
man besides hunting buffalo to feed the railroad crews.
And Laura gets this little flashback. And
congratulations. You are now a teacher.
I'll upgrade the audio in the future, but for those who might not be able to have heard it, I'll play it one more time.
Congratulations. You are now a teacher.
Right place, right
time. That's like one of those things that we quote a lot around the house because it's just really funny.
Congratulations.
Thomas Jefferson is the third president of the United States. Congratulations. You are now a teacher.
A teacher.
Colonel Cody was also a
He's a pretty good teacher, too. I was wondering why they didn't have him turn into a teacher for the show.
Huh, that actually kind of would have been a good job for him.
Yeah.
Chief Scout for the 5th Cavalry. And it was only a few years back when he fought in the Battle of Summit Springs against a tribe of bloodthirsty Cheyenne who were after revenge.
Aho.
You did it at the same time as he did it.
Aho.
How about you shut up?
I don't think I have. Do I have Cloud Dancing? I must, right? Come on. I have.
Of course.
If I have that, I. Very soon we're going to be upgrading our entire clip world. Yeah, sadly I don't have it, but I have.
Yes, lady.
And I have.
I like it.
There we go.
Couple of evergreens right
seems,
there.
Yeah, of course.
The Colorado militia and massacred most of their women and children. Only
she's looking before. At him like, you are so hot right now.
That's my boy. And I'm going to be late tomorrow and the day after.
Sand Creek.
You just found a way of graduating.
Yeah.
Take over the class. But, you know, like, in a way, he's helping her right there. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the union rules, I'm sure. Let's see. We get a exhausted Laura. This is where Caroline doesn't have the bright light on her anymore. And they're both, like, kind of ragged a little bit. A.K.A. no makeup.
What have you done to your hands?
Nothing. It's
Let me see.
It's so gross.
Nothing. Just short of being raw.
Your hands are disgusting.
Have you been working in the orchard that hard?
It's all right. I'll wear gloves from now on.
Well, gloves may protect your hands. They're not going to protect your health. Look at you.
Look, you're disgusting.
You look like shit.
You're a mess.
I've never seen you so exhausted.
It's just the heat, huh?
How about a little toot?
A little pick-me-up.
Well, I can see I'm not going to slow you down any.
To be fair, regarding her never seeing her so exhausted, she has only really known her as a child. So, I mean, children don't typically get that exhausted.
Exactly.
At least let me send Albert and James over to help you.
Ma, I'm no special case. Everybody with crops is...
Being pregnant makes you a special case.
And I agree with Ma. Oh,
there we go. We both agree. I think that's a good line, too, because it's like, you know, and of course she throws in Carolyn's face that, you know, it's like, hey, you're always out there working, but she never did this kind of stuff that Laura's doing.
Well, right, and then, like, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, pregnant women, like, can still do work, right? Mm-hmm. You can still do, like, physical tasks, but this is different, right? Well, this is totally...
Yeah, but you shouldn't be hauling 40 pounds of water.
Well, I mean, like, there's that, and then it's also, like, with the heat and, you know, all this stuff, and she's doing it all herself, so it's, like, a ton of work for one person.
Right.
Where it's, like, if Elman's over there, like, she wouldn't be doing it all herself. Like, he would be doing a lot of work, too. So even like best case scenario, it's kind of like,
but
if he were around and it's like, you know, and I'm sure she wouldn't have to do nearly as much, but it's just totally different, you know?
And also I don't believe that it would just be him doing it because like we saw like from the beginning, like she was just as involved as he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, I'm sure she would still be doing work, but it wouldn't be like just her doing it and it wouldn't be nearly as intensive.
We see that the well is run dry.
It's dry.
Well, that's not good. when your well's running dry. So she goes down to the creek, I guess. Which has super clean water, apparently. And she goes to carry. It's a pretty visual thing. And I kind of forgot that she has to give water to the animals. And I would imagine the animals probably drink a lot of water. I mean, my dog does, and he's only like 8 pounds.
I mean, livestock, like gallons a day, I think. So,
I would think so. They're, I don't know, water trough, like, would have to be pretty full. Oh, yeah, this little guy is going to be hamburger one day.
Moo.
A moo. So let's see. We go to the post office.
Laura, are you sick?
Oh, speaking of Mrs. Foster here. So I was thinking over the weekend when I was watching it. Mm-hmm. So they do call her the Widow Foster. You know, that's she's right, the Widow Foster. But suddenly, season 7, we learn that she has twins. She's still called Mrs. Foster. We see her husband and the twins. So she was Widow Foster, then Mrs. Foster with husband and twins.
She leads a double life.
Did she just happen to marry somebody with the same last name?
Yeah, that'd be actually pretty awesome.
You don't look well. Not well at all.
You look like crap, too. It's the same postcard.
You're not wearing any makeup. But that, like, seriously is it. It's like they just didn't put makeup on her.
Look, it's the same postcard. Oh, maybe not. I want to know what these postcards are.
I'm just a little tired.
Oh.
And annoyed. I'm just a little annoyed at people saying that I'm tired looking.
Oh, my. Pa and Manly were delayed by heavy rains in the mountains.
Wouldn't you know?
You can see.
She's like, I know. Things. I already read it. It's on a postcard.
Wouldn't you know? Wouldn't you know is kind of like, I don't know, kind of a weird thing to. It's like a nothing.
Not for nothing.
Not for nothing. You shouldn't have gone. Let's see. He's building up his right arm. It's the Nels method of arm wrestling. Kind of like Rocky. Dun, 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 dun. Let's see. We're back in the classroom and. Things are just kind of, she's just getting more and more exhausted in front of the class. Everybody's warm.
And what they mean, one by one. The First Amendment places restrictions on the powers of Congress.
But yeah, really, all they're really doing, just as you said, is just not giving her really kind of some concealer for under her eyes. And maybe they're even putting a little bit of like eyeshadow in the middle of her, like here. You know what I mean? Like, to just make
it like where? I can't see your mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, what?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, okay, I think it.
Like, in this area.
I mean, I think, and I think they probably put on, like, a little bit of, you know, something to make her look a little pale, a little washed out, you know? Yeah. But, and I mean, she's not really wearing, like, she normally, at this point in the show, she's always wearing, like, eyeshadow, like, pretty obvious eyeshadow. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, some liner and, you know, mascara and stuff like that. And then here she's just pretty, more or less, like, not really made up.
Her hair looks all right, though.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I was like, her hair looks kind of too good for how sweaty she is.
Yeah, like, it should be kind of flatter and greasier.
And, like, kind of frizzy. And, like, you know, you get those, like, dumb little curls around, you know, like your head. Like the
baby hairs, So, yeah. Harriet is just loving this ice.
Quickly, quickly, I have nails.
I mean, all of this stuff out of context is crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It's
so slow.
And Nels is really kind of just buying into it as well. You know, it's kind of.
Do we think that Nels is a little whipped, or do you think that he just does it out of love? Because, like, there are instances where we do see that they do really genuinely care for each other.
This is whipped. Like, this is, like, him being the servant boy.
Yeah. I guess he probably thinks it's easier than just listening to her complain all the time.
Yeah. You know what else is easy? Falling asleep in the middle of class when everything is so boring.
Well, right when she's sitting there reading the amendments to you. Yeah. Holy cow.
Papers and effects against unreasonable searches.
And she just farted. It's like, shh, let's just all leave.
Yeah, brother, do something. Excuse me, but how is this unreasonable business determined?
She just wakes up. It's really hilarious. But yeah, she's in bad shape. Albert's like, let me come over and help. And she's like, no, I'm fine. No, no, no. Willie's really getting involved, which I think is nice.
This is kind of where the grown-up Willie is very different than our child Willie. I mean, like, he really has a lot of growth, and actually both of the Olsen children really change quite a bit as they get older.
Not Nancy, of course.
Well, we also don't see her get older. That's but true. She's totally, I don't even know if there is hope for her. No. She might just be too far gone. But I mean, like, Nellie, of course, you know, we know how she changes after she meets Percival. Mm-hmm. And then Willie, like, he really actually becomes, I think, a very nice person.
I think a strong character, too, for the show.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to, he's one of the few characters who I would have liked to see get developed if there were, you know, a season 10.
Yeah. And I mean, I could actually see him becoming, if there had been another season, kind of a more central character.
Yeah. Here's, they kind of talk about what the deal is.
What'd she say? No, that's what. She's gonna kill herself. Those buckets must weigh 40 pounds. She's sensible. She'll ask for help if she needs it. She's sensible sometimes.
Willie's like, let's go to my house.
And we should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
That's pretty much what's happening here, I think. We get more questions about, you know, extending credit. And Nels is nice about it, you know.
Always does.
Soon ain't soon enough. My corn's dying, my wheat's dying.
Well, if it'll ease your mind, I'll carry you for a while.
Much obliged. Thank you very much, Nels.
Mighty understanding, Nels. Thank you.
So we never see these guys before, but, you know, it is one, a nice thing.
The older guy looks familiar. I feel like maybe he is in other episodes, but, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it's just random townspeople. We don't know who they are.
Random townsies. And Nels! Harriet. Oh, my God.
Yes, dear.
Come in here, please.
Coming.
So she's like, you know, you're giving more credit and... Yeah, it's just more of the same, right? Mm-hmm. Willie's like, can I help Miss Wilder? And she's like, no, your job is to stay here.
Young man. Doesn't she say it really weird like that, too?
Let me play it.
Disability is here at home, young man.
Young man. It's funny. So,
but then also, like, doing what at their home?
Right. Like, they don't have anything to do. Except, what, chop ice?
Yeah.
We used to have more visuals of Laura, like, doing chin-ups. It's the wrong way to do chin-ups. It would be funny, like, right here to have huge muscles. Maybe I should take that and make a screenshot. put, like, big muscles on her.
That would be pretty funny.
We get more shots of the trippy sun. But Carolyn and Albert are like, we're going to go and we're going to see how she is, like, enough. Meanwhile, she just happens to collapse. And we get this actually kind of crazy shot. We get another crane shot earlier when we see how many of the trees there are. But in this, I'm pretty sure it's an interesting crane shot. Wait.
Thank you. She's wearing like Mickey Mouse gloves.
And she's like, I'm gonna fall. I want to do. Yeah, the gloves are kind of interesting.
I'd love to change the world.
Oh boy. Kind of perfect.
That worked out pretty well.
Yeah, that was kind of perfect. That's great. I love these little things that we do. So, and it's funny because I know you were saying you were coming up with someone in your head when you were listening to like the Beatles or if you're listening to different things. And yeah, it's starting to like kind of happen with me more.
Yeah. You're just like listening to something. You're like, that would be really good on the podcast.
And then I always forget though. So Albert's like runs, Carolyn finds her, and Albert's like, I can't carry her, she's too heavy.
He does look like he's struggling a little bit. Yeah. And then Willie disobeyed his mother.
Yeah.
Like, and went to go check on Laura.
Well, she Nels did give him permission to go.
I guess I missed that or forgot that. But,
oh really? Yeah. He's like, yes, sure you can go. I was like, what? Let's see. Willie runs over to look for Doc Baker.
Doc Baker, Doc Baker.
Slow down, Willie. Slow down. Take a deep breath. Tell me exactly what's wrong.
It's Mrs. Wilder. She's collapsed. Mrs. Ingle said that she had a heat stroke.
All right. I'll get right on out there. Did you run all the way here?
Yes, sir.
Well, Willie, you're a case of heat exhaustion about to happen. I want you to get in the shade and drink a quart of water very, very slowly.
How about you shut up?
A couple of teaspoons of salt. And after that, I want you to find somebody to bring a block of ice out to Laura's.
Yes, sir.
And Willie, do exactly as I said. I don't want any dead heroes around here.
He's like, hero? Did you say hero?
Yeah, he's like, all right.
I like it.
Yes, sir.
Willie forgets everything because he's like,
we should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
He passes out, just sleeps the rest of the day. With a block of ice on his chest.
I think that Doc Baker seems a little too calm about Laura having a heat stroke.
Yeah, exactly. She's, I mean, yeah.
Like, he's just like, all right, I'll get out there.
I'm on my way.
I mean, it's like he has like the professional face or whatever. I mean, I kind of get that, but it's like, I don't know, it's like a little more urgent than that. I mean, like this actually could be like really dangerous for the baby and for her. And
yeah, and he's just covering ice. I mean, I'm assuming it's heat stroke, is it, or heat exhaustion?
They called it heat stroke, but what is the difference? Because heat stroke is worse, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think heat stroke is like where you're literally your internal core temperature rises, which is, of course, extremely dangerous. But I think it might be a mixture of dehydration as well.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, like the temperature rising happens more quickly when you're pregnant because it's like harder for your body to stay cool. And then also it's more easy to become like dehydrated while pregnant. So it's like, I mean, just like, because like your body is working so much harder.
Well, you're also making a child. So,
well, right. Which is why your body's working so much harder. Yeah. Which is why it's totally crazy that she just is like, so insistent on not getting any help.
You're building the baby. The building.
Thank God her temperature's coming down.
He's like, I feel like Almanzo when he had his pneumonia. Do you think that Almanzo would feel guilty that he wasn't there for her when she was going through all this?
Yeah. So then at the beginning of the episode, when she's all like, oh, well, the baby's not due for 4 more months. So like, no problem. And it's like, so on the one hand, it's like, well, yeah, it's like we have some time to go too. But then it's also like, but if something happens while he's gone, like that would suck, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like, here, this happened while he was gone. But so that's kind of like my take on it. I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess it's like he doesn't have to be there constantly, maybe, but maybe he would want to be, right? I mean, he kind of seemed like he didn't want to go while she was pregnant. Mm. But I don't know. Like, this luckily ends up good, right? Yeah. Everything is fine. But it's like, what if it had ended poorly and then he's not even there? And, you know, that would be really bad.
Yeah, it would be very bad. It'd be like almost a Sully move. Not quite, but sort of.
Get close.
So, yeah, Doc tells...
Although Pa accepting the job without telling Ma, that's a bit of a Sully move.
Yeah, that's a total Sully move, right? Yeah, completely. I mean, well, Sully's the type of guy to be like on the trip already and send a letter home. I'm on a job.
See you in 2 months.
See you in 2 months. So Doc tells Nels what Willie had done.
How was Willie looking when you left? Much better. He was.
We lost him. He's dead.
Cooling off the ice.
This is Albert. He's my new son. I've just adopted him.
I'm looking on him.
You know, they're close to the same height, brown hair. It works.
Right.
Tell you, when he came to get me, he ran all the way.
Will you thank Willie for me?
Is there a reason Doc Baker has to dress like the Quaker Oats man all the time?
He loves that. I think that Albert's a little jealous here. That Willie's getting called, you know, he's like, all he did was run.
Yeah.
I told him to run.
I found Laura.
I partially carried her.
Yeah.
I came when they yelled my name. But here, he's like...
Albert, go home and tell the children I'm staying here with Laura. And give them dinner, will you please?
Sure.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to run. I'm going to run the whole way. Right after.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
That's what he does.
I'll take care of it.
Thank you.
I'm a hero too. So she steps right into the role.
That R I hate.
Ooh, what is that? It's like one peed. One peed.
I hate it.
Yeah, who wrote that? Jeez.
I'm gonna let you go early today because it's so hot.
Oh, which R? This R is the one you mean, right?
Yeah, the one is, like up there. Yeah, it's so ugly.
It isn't great either.
Oh, so she's letting them go early because it's hot. Something I was thinking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So we have had occasions on the show, too, where school is just canceled for a period of time because of something. Like there's a disease or there's, you know, whatever. They cancel school for a while. So since there's this like total heat wave, drought, everybody's having a hard time. Why not cancel school for a little while?
Right. For the week. Send home.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, really.
First, I'm going to tell you a story.
I'm going to let you go, but not yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, at the end, you're going to have something nice, but first, I'm going to tell you a 25-minute story. And this story does go on for a while, but it is the basis of the entire episode. Do you want to, like, summarize what the story is? Or should I play the whole thing? I mean, it's...
Probably just play it because it is kind of, like, I mean, it's the titular story.
You used to tell Laura, Mrs. Wilder, this story when she was a little girl. It's called Stone Soup. You've been studying the American Revolution, haven't you?
Yes.
Fine. I want you to imagine that you're a starving British soldier lost in a wild land where nobody wants you and all doors are closed to you. This young soldier stumbled out of the forest into a small village. He was weak with hunger and frozen almost to death. He was very young, not much older than Willie. In fact, his name...
Willie's like, I like it.
Well, he's like, was he a hero like me?
And the reason, in fact, his name was William. He's like, oh, boy.
I know. He's like, yeah. He's
Okay, so this is something that's kind of dumb, though, because isn't he probably, what, like 16?
Right. He's like, you never heard of anybody with my name. Maybe I'm related. Maybe he's my cousin. Oh, geez. Somebody's eating clap.
Yeah. And even Albert's like, yeah.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
He knocked on all the doors asking for food and shelter, but the people told him they were starving too. He offered to chop wood for a meal, but all the doors slammed shut in his face. Did William go back into the forest to freeze to death? No. That's right. He went straight into the center of town and took off his knapsack. Then he found a big black iron pot and filled it with snow. Next, he built a roaring fire under that pot to melt the snow. And what do you suppose the people in the village were doing?
I don't know.
Who's this? Okay, that kid drives me crazy.
Yeah, he, there's something about him I don't like.
I was like, I don't know.
I don't know. You know, it's interesting. Being that he has a line, that means that he would have had to be in SAG now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, no kidding. You don't know. Shut up!
They were peeking at him because they were curious. And they became
Cassandra is dumbfounded.
This is incredible, this story about water. You can.
So, Cassandra is so overly expressive, it actually is kind of irritating to me sometimes.
Seriously, it is. She's just, yeah, she's really, really into the role.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just contact high from Albert.
Even more curious, when he opened his knapsack and took out three very round, shiny rocks.
Apples?
What do you suppose he did with those rocks?
He probably said, how did these get in there? This woman looks like she's like 40. This kid. She looks older.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
He dropped them into the boiling water. Slowly, one by one. So that all the people looking out of their windows could see him. In a few minutes, he opened his pack and took out a big spoon.
Albert's listening like he's never heard this story before. I mean, this is his mother. She can't have that many stories.
Well, she said she used to tell it to Laura when she was a girl. Well, come on. But
you know. He knows this story.
And he stirred
He's just a little scarred, though, because the last time that he was listening to one of the bedtime stories that Ma and Pa have, it's when Pa was telling the story to Carrie that gave him the idea to lie to the Leslie girl.
Yeah.
So he's a little scarred from it. He's like, last time I listened to your stories, it didn't work out very well for me.
It sometimes don't work.
Boiling water. Then he spooned up a taste and smelled it. He smiled as if it were the most wonderful food in the world.
Yeah, she's enjoying this a little too much.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you see, it's kind of like when you see a celebrity reading a book in front of like a kindergarten class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they know the camera's there. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting.
What do you suppose the villagers were doing?
Getting ready to riot?
They came to see what was happening.
Exactly.
Very good, dum-dum.
Their curiosity got the better of them, and they stomped through the snow to stand and stare at the steaming pot. And then a little girl about Cassandra's age asked what everyone...
Me?
Yeah. These kids are crazy.
It's like, raise your hand. How much longer is this story?
And wanted to know. What are you cooking? And what did William tell them he was cooking?
Star soup.
Good job, everybody.
Very good, Willie.
Look at Willie. He's so proud of it. He's so into it.
He turns to Albert. He's like, A+.
Exactly. And before anyone could ask another question, He tasted
kind of sitting there like, this is a little dumb.
Yeah, wait. Look at the kid right behind Will.
Tell them he was cooking.
This kid, he has no interest whatsoever. He's like, what's
that? That's awesome.
Exactly. And before anyone could ask another question, he tasted his soup again. And he said, if only we had some onions, this soup would be perfect. An old man allowed us how he might have a few onions left in his cellar. In a minute.
I mean, did Laura ever hear the end of this? Or did she fall asleep before you got there?
I think that's the way it usually would go.
Yeah.
He was back with a bunch.
But here we go.
Bunch of onions. William put them into the soup.
Wait, I just thought of a pretty funny thing.
One, so that all the people looking out of full food in the world.
I want to get to the part where they say, what do you think they called it?
And took off his knapsack. Then he found a big black. More curious, when he opened his
knapsack. Okay, we'll get there.
Sorry. And he
dropped them into the boiling water. Slowly.
Sorry.
One by one. So that all the people looking out of their windows could see him. In a few minutes, he opened his pack and took out a big spoon. Then he stirred the most wonderful food in the world. What do you suppose the villagers were doing?
They came to see what was happening.
Exactly. Their curiosity got the better of them. And they stomped through the snow to stand and stare at the steaming pot. And then a little girl about Cassandra's age.
All right, this is where we'll.
Asked what everyone wanted to know. What are you cooking?
Watch Willie. And
what did William tell them he was cooking? Exactly. And before anyone could ask another question, he tasted his soup again. And he said, if only we had some onions.
All right, we'll go back to normal. All right.
Would be perfect.
It was worth it.
Yeah, it was. Sorry that it took so long to get there.
He might have a few onions left in his cellar. In a minute, he was back with a bunch of onions. William put them into the soup. Then he tasted it again. With some carrots and about 20 potatoes... It would be even better. Then some people found some potatoes and carrots. Sure enough, those people had been hiding food. Now the soup was smelling even better. Then came some beef bones. William said,
Cassandra, beef bones? I love beef bones.
Soup was done. He let the old man who'd made the first contribution have the first bowl.
And the rest paid him 25 cents.
And can you guess what he said? What he said was...
What do you think she said?
Best darn stone soup I ever had.
Is that all?
Well, if you're waiting for me to tell you what the story means, you just have to figure that out for yourselves.
All right, let's just go home then.
Suckers.
I guess it means it's important to help each other.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
There's something more to the story besides just helping people.
What's that, Willie?
Well, it's like a lot of people all working together to get something done.
Got a couple of real bright kids in this class.
Yeah.
All right, so they're hanging
out. But can we just agree that the way that even, like, we did it at half speed, but her, like, best darn stone soup, I just do not like that line, how she says it.
I hate it.
It bugs me.
What he said was, best darn stone soup I ever had.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. It makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, it hurts my ears. Let's see. We're back at the Wilder homestead having some lemonade, as one does.
Laura's hair is looking kind of nice.
It looks really nice for a sweaty, girl.
She was just recovering from heat stroke.
Well, you know, but have you tried laying under a bunch of ice?
Yeah, that's true.
So everybody kind of shows up to help, which I think is very nice.
Then Miles all like, it worked. I successfully manipulated a class full of children
child
to come
labor.
And water your trees.
Right.
We'll save your trees for you, Miss Wilder.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the pond.
Yeah. And Nancy
has like the tiniest pail.
Yeah, it's like her lunch pail. So they're all going back. Nancy, of course, doesn't want to help.
Oh, it's so hot.
Well, if you were cooler, would you help?
Of course I would.
There, that ought to cool you off.
She doesn't seem like she got wet enough. Like, her dress still looks really dry.
Well, the bonnet.
I guess the bonnet just kind of took all of it.
It just deflected it. It was, like, incredible. So they go and they water. I thought that they would have to do this daily. That was my opinion. But according to Albert, he's like, they don't have to be watered for at least a week or something.
We gave them a real dousing this morning.
Yeah, they should be all right for at least a week.
My heroes, Albert.
I mean, yeah, to that point, though, like, is that really how that works, though? Because I would think that, because they're so, like, behind, I guess, right? Like, drying out, but it can only absorb so much at once.
Yeah. Like, you guys,
so I don't really get that. And if it's that dry, then it's like, it's going to dry out again really fast.
And you guys have a garden, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have to do it every day. Like, especially probably you guys probably have to even do it more because it's warmer down south.
I mean, the gardening is really more of something that he takes care of.
Mm-hmm.
I help, like, I approve what goes in it. I mean, it'll just, like, I'll help pick out some stuff. Like, if I'm like, oh, I want to have this grow, I want to have this grow.
Like, but, like, boy, get me a tomato. Pick me a good
but
tomato.
But actually, funny story, which is related to Little House in a way. Mm-hmm. Our most successful family gardener is actually Harriet, our beagle.
Really?
So we have tried to grow pumpkins. Like, we accidentally grew a pumpkin one year because we had, like, a little pumpkin sitting on our front step, and it fell off the step, so, like, didn't really see it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up just kind of, like, rotting away.
Nice.
But then a little pumpkin grew there because, like, the seed or whatever. Right. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, a pumpkin grew there.
Yeah, that's cute.
And then we're like, we should, like, grow pumpkins because we like to carve them and stuff, you know, for Halloween. So I was like, we should just grow pumpkins. So we've got the seeds. Planted them. They, like, did not thrive at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, when we didn't try to grow the pumpkin, one grew. When we tried to grow, it didn't work. So in the backyard, Pete was, like, you know, kind of cleaning it out and stuff, getting ready to start the garden up. And he's like, there's something growing here. Like, what is it? And we, like, figured out it was, like, pumpkins. We're like, what? How are pumpkins growing there? Like, we never even, like, this is totally not even close to, like, the first pumpkin incident, right? Like, that was the front of the house. This is, like, the backyard. We're like, how did this get there? Then I figured it out. So what happened is I carved this pumpkin, like, 2 or 3 years ago on Halloween. And I had actually posted a picture of it in the Wanna Grow Cast group because it was the little house that I did. And it actually turned out pretty well. But then Harriet ended up destroying it because, like, I had carved it, but it was still light out. And I wanted to see how it would look in the dark with the candle and stuff. So I brought it into the house and I put it in the bathroom, like, so I could see it in the dark. And the bathroom had two doors and the one wasn't closed all the way. Mm-hmm. So Harry got in there and she ended up, like, eating a bunch of the pumpkin and, like, destroyed it, basically. However, okay, so she ate a bunch of the pumpkin. She pooped seeds out.
Oh, my God. So she incubated them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And she pooped seeds out. And now they are, like, really thriving.
That's incredible.
Like, yeah. We're going to get this whole, like, pumpkin patch back there.
What you need to do is feed her pumpkin every year. And then,
yeah, you know. Well, I think whatever we want to grow, we should just feed it to her and then let her plant it.
Like, you know, just kind of like some people use plows and, you know, seeding devices. Yeah. You use a beagle.
Yeah, but I was like, that's awesome. Actually, so her track record is 100% right now of success, right?
I think that's awesome.
Because PETA has, like, grown some really good stuff, but it doesn't always work out, right? You know, like, sometimes you try to grow something and it just doesn't work.
I can't grow anything large. I don't know. I don't understand why. Everything rots. Like, if I...
Yeah.
Anything large. Like, pumpkins, it starts, but nothing ever comes of it. Watermelon, cantaloupe.
We have grown, like, cantaloupe.
Yeah.
Actually, it, like, turned out okay. Yeah.
I don't know how to grow large things. Tomatoes and onion and stuff like that, I can grow without any problem. And cucumbers, I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really want to grow. And this year, I'll have garlic, which is good.
Nice.
Because garlic apparently takes, like, 2 years or something to grow properly.
Yeah. So Harriet, she has a 100% success rate. That's awesome.
I hope this year that you have another pumpkin harvest.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for them because they're really developing pretty well. So I'm excited for them to
continue
developing and become pumpkins.
I have to look for the one that you did of the little house. I remember it vaguely. I have to go mm-hmm. and check it.
Yeah, and that's where it all started.
I just think it's awesome that Harriet's like, yeah, I did it on purpose.
Yeah, she's like, totally, totally. This was my plan.
This is my plan to destroy and create and give birth. In a way, she's part of that's a kind of a baby palooza type of thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. So it was actually a very fitting story for that. It was Little House related. It's baby palooza related.
You have to, like, mention, like, what... It's like a cross thing. It's like a pumpkin and a beagle.
Yeah. You have to think of... It's a pumpkin with flappy ears.
A peagle or something. Pumkle. I don't know.
And all of you.
Hey, maybe other folks could use some help watering.
Maybe this could be a business. You know, like, how about that?
You know, Willie kind of looks like maybe he got some highlights at Jake's.
That's so funny.
Yeah, we can all make it
sure. It really does.
Tomorrow. They're right near the creek. And the Simon's place.
His haircut's not bad compared to Albert's.
No, so I was just thinking, like, Albert, the front, how it's so bluntly cut, that's just the weirdest thing.
It's like it has no definition. It's,
yeah, like, it's plastic, really weird.
Or something.
But, you know, like, Willie's hair is, like, a decent cut, and he has a good head of hair, as we know. We saw the pictures from the 50th, right?
Yeah.
With his long hair. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy can grow a head of hair.
Yeah, he's got pretty good hair. Even right here, it looks pretty good at this length.
Mm-hmm.
This kid has, like, the Brian haircut.
Yeah.
Do it?
Yeah!
You know, Mrs. Ingalls, it's working together. I don't know, it kind of makes you feel good.
It sure does. Now, let's all have some lemonade, and under there, some sandwiches.
Oh, good.
Look at that. You couldn't be hungry.
Laura's like, child labor. Hopefully they never make a law to take it away.
That's kind of a weird shot of her.
Yeah. Let's see. All right, so we have Amanda and Charles kind of popping into town.
This might get a little rain. Yeah, by the look of things, they sure could use it. Get my vest to half mine.
Sure. What did you say? Which one?
Sure could.
You sure did.
All right. Sure will. See you tomorrow.
Sure will. Sure. That's not bad.
All right, a home-cooked meal coming up.
You sure did.
Yeah, so then Paul's all like, yeah, home cooked meal coming up. So he comes home, he's like, Caroline, where's my dinner?
Exactly. And she's like, funny story. So Manly pulls up and it's pouring rain. Which has just got to be, like, probably the most relieving thing for any farmer to, I guess, go through when there's a drought.
There we go! Beth! Beth, I'm home!
Manly!
Oh!
This is some crazy-looking rain, too. I mean, I know they just did it on the stage, but it's like...
It looks like, it looks like they're just dumping a bucket, basically. Right.
Oh, darling, I missed you.
Oh, darling. You smell so bad.
I missed you so.
I think that she has, like, one outfit this entire episode.
Pretty much.
What does she wear when she washes it?
She just... Nobody else... Nobody's around. She's, you know, going el natural.
Me too. You'll never know how much.
I passed the orchard on the way, and it looks just fine. Looks just fine. It's a good thing it's raining, because I thought I was going to have to come home with one of those trees.
Trees.
That's so funny.
Oh, nothing, nothing at all. Come on inside and get dried off.
All right.
I guess, okay, you're laughing because you're all, like, relieved and stuff. I can forgive that. But then it's also, it's like, are you going to tell him about all the craziness? Are you going to tell him about how you, like, were totally nuts and refused all help?
Right. If my mom and Albert were not walking by, I would likely be dead right now.
Yeah.
It's insane. Manly's like, how come the bed's so wet?
Yeah.
Are you peeing the bed, Beth?
I got some stone soup on the stove.
What on earth, stone soup?
That's a long story.
It is a long story. A little too long.
Yeah, it is an extremely long story. And they're like up in the bedroom, like a mausoleum sound. He's like, you know what would be nice, Beth? An ice bath. And she's like, you have no idea. Everything's just a joke to her now.
Well, she's from this, from the like high fever, it like kind of changed her a bit.
Yeah, her brain structure was permanently altered.
Yeah, and she's just like everything in her head, like whenever somebody's talking, it's like
I'd love to change the world.
That's all she hears. Or
oh, that would have been a good one for the crazy sun shots.
We could just throw it in there. Oh, look at this.
Like what is that? Cover. That looks crazy.
I grabbed it. Yeah, this, wait.
I'm going down to the bits that I left uptown. I need a fix because I'm going down.
All right.
I would say that was successful.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I just, yeah.
I wish I had thought of that when we were going through the first time.
Well, we're doing it now.
We're doing it now. Better late than never.
That is crazy, though, that little weird transition. But we get the sun so often, it's so funny. Is that from... Oh, yeah.
And that music that they play is really weird, too.
One last time. Well, it looks as though we've come to the end of a landed nation.
And Baby Palooza.
Baby Palooza.
But I do, like I said last time, I think, you know, I do kind of like to keep the episodes a little bit more lighthearted for Baby Palooza. We obviously have a lot where there are like tragedies surrounding children and childbirth and pregnancies and stuff.
That's no fun.
But like this one, even though it was like a dangerous situation, it turned out fine. And actually, in Dr. Quinncast, We have the episode we're going to talk about, which is sort of similar in that she's pushing herself too hard when she's pregnant. She starts having some, you know, complications. But then it turns out, like, you know, well, but I think that it is a valuable lesson to not push yourself too hard and to accept help.
Yeah, I think that's what we have to take away from this, is that even if you're not pregnant, accept help. It's okay. It's not the end of the
world. Yeah, I mean, some people just really seem to have just, like, this really hard time with accepting help from people. Yeah. But, yeah, really, I mean, if you need help, just ask for help.
Just don't ask
Especially, it's like, don't put yourself in a dangerous situation because you don't want to ask for help.
But don't ask Kelly or Mark for help because we don't.
Yeah.
We can't.
We'll probably just start playing clips.
We're too busy. Like, we're just... Help yourself. No. But yeah, we're changing the world, you know. That's But as usual, thank you so much for all the work that you put into this episode, Kelly. I appreciate it. And I look forward to the next one.
As do I.